Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting to the world.
Hello.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
Hey, yes.
The news you want.
Is the perception still that a black man with a gun is a criminal?
With the topics you need.
Marching might have been good for back in the day, but what kind of effectiveness is marching have on society today?
The Ron Kelly.
Black males 18 to 24 years old have the highest homicide offending rate.
4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 1 p.m. Pacific. It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted. Get it twisted.
On blogtalkradio.com.
Yes, indeed, absolutely. This is the Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates. Good morning, everybody. Welcome. December 27th already. Goodness, 2014. This is the last Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates for the year 2014. Thank you, everybody, for joining us this morning on a dreary, at least in the Northeast, a dreary, rainy Sunday morning. But we're going to try to put a little sunshine in your day this morning. And before I go any further, let me introduce my co-host here. He's the unflappable one, I like to call him. He goes by the name of Lamont Gates. Good morning, Lamont. How are you? Good morning, Lamont. Okay, let me work on that. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll work on that. Let me see if I can get Lamont back get Lamont here. Meanwhile, everybody, lots going on. There's just plenty going on here. You know, we'll get that in just a second. Let me just get Lamont onto the show. Good morning, Lamont. How are you?
How you doing, Rod?
Doing well. Thanks, Lamont. It's dreary. I was just saying in comparison to yesterday, kind of a dreary Sunday morning, rainy and whatnot, but we're going to put a little sunshine in everybody's day today. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring Lamont Gates. The official website at Ron Kelly Show is www.theronkellyshow.com. Also on Facebook, it's the Ron Kelly Show. On Twitter, it's the Ron Kelly Show. And you can check the show not only on blogtalkradio.com, but also you can check us out on the Igloo radio app. It's very, very simple. You download it to your smartphone if you're out and about doing what you do on a Sunday morning. And you just click on the Ron Kelly Show, and boom, one-stop shopping. And you can get the show right away instead of the Block Talk Radio nonsense. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. We got a great show lined up for you. I think we'll do our weekend review. Lamont, first I want to shout out, but condolences to Tyler Stewart, 24-year-old police officer from Flagstaff, Arizona, who was killed yesterday in a domestic violence call. And from what I understand, Lamont, domestic violence calls are the number one most dangerous police action in regards to, you know, when people call up. Even more dangerous than armed robberies, even more dangerous than bank robberies and everything else. It's weird, Lamont, that's true, that the domestic violence calls are the most dangerous calls for police officers. I don't understand that one, but
It could be that, you know, a lot of passion and emotions are flying around the place. So when you get someone else involved to try to stop this person who has so much rage and passion against the person that they're passionate with, you know, you get the passion, the heated passion that is, going towards the police officers who arrive.
Yeah, and absolutely, and the guy consequently, and the cowardly is Lamont. So succinctly put it, the guy cowardly took his own life after he took the life of the police officer. Tyler Stewart, 24 years old, killed in a domestic violence call. I was surprised to find out today that 125 police officers have been killed in the line of duty in 2014. 125.
Wow.
Yeah, 125 police officers have been killed in the line of duty this year alone. And, you know, and it's we don't hear too much about police killings, Lamont, police officers dying on the line of duty. I mean, here in New York, we heard a lot about these two police officers, Officer Ramos and Officer Chin, in regards to the Ferguson thing. And I think that's what kind of blew this up, Lamont. It was connected directly to Ferguson and Eric Garner. And now, once again, the police officers at the funeral yesterday, Lamont, they all, and not just New York police officers from all over the country, they all turned their backs on Mayor de Blasio as he spoke.
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. They are sending an extremely strong message to him that says, look, we not only did not forget what you said, regarding the comments that they saw as throwing the police department under the bus. They not only looked at it as saying, we did not forget what you said, but we're not going to forgive you either. Now, you last week talked about how this is possibly crossing the line, especially while these policemen are on duty, and I agreed with you that they have their chief, their mayor, their boss, if you would, standing in attendance of two officers that have been killed at this funeral, and I think there needs to be some sort of respect given. Like I said, individually, these police officers can say what they want. It's a free country. They can go on social media. They can blast the mayor all they want as individuals. However, collectively, as a police department, I think there needs to be some sort of line of respect given all the time, 100% of the time when your chief and mayor comes in.
Yeah, I think it's overkill. And this is directly connected to the police officers union. The PBA president in particular goes by the name of Patrick Lynch, who made a rambling manifesto type of statement on the day that these two officers were killed, and has suggested, even as I said last week, Lamont, for the officers to sign a waiver asking that the police, that the mayor of New York City, Mayor Bill de Blasio, does not attend their funerals in case they are killed in the line of duty. It's a little over the top, I think. But Lamont, let me just say this. I do, after looking at it in hindsight, 2020, da 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 da, I think that, I do kind of think that de Blasio did go a little bit over the line. And I do think that he kind of tossed the police officers under the bus. He didn't toe the line, Lamont. I think he stepped over the line. What do you think?
I agree. I in fact, overall, I don't think de Blasio is a great mayor for that town, for New York in general. And I think a lot of the people who voted for him are starting to realize that, and I think they're starting to backpedal as well. However, I brought up the example of George W. Bush. We disagreed with many of his policies, but at the same time, I think we all would have respected him as our commander-in-chief at the time. So I don't see anything different, especially if you're working directly under the mayor as a police officer, collectively as an entire police department. If you're working under your mayor, I think there needs to be a line of respect. I don't agree with de Blasio. I don't think he's a great mayor for that city. But I think if you're working for someone, at least, the least thing you can do is show them a line of respect as you are my boss, you are my mayor, therefore I have to stand at attention even though I don't agree personally with all your calls.
Yeah, absolutely, Lamont. I do too think that they should give the man some respect because he's the chief executive of the city of New York and he should be given the respect that he deserves. Regardless of what you think about what he did. Now, what should happen is maybe there should be a meeting with maybe between Mayor de Blasio and the leader of the police union, who's a very, very powerful individual, Lamont, even more powerful than the police commissioner, is Mr. Pat Lynch, who's the he's more powerful than the police commissioner. The commissioner has asked that because the commissioner is appointed by the mayor. And the police, the union president is elected by the union, by the rank and file. So there is a little bit of a disconnect there. And although the police commissioner did ask that the men respect the mayor, they're still turning their backs on him, Lamont. And not just New York City police officers, but the police officers from all around the country who attended the funeral of Officer Ramos, who was posthumously. Upgraded to first grade detective, by the way, as a result of this killing. So what do you think about that? I mean, what's your take on that? Because you have
Well, these officers obviously are coming into New York City. They want to show their respect. They want to show their loyalty to someone who was killed in the line of duty. The exact same type of career that they're doing themselves and their respected states. However, I think what they're also doing is they're looking at the New York City Police Department, the New York City police officers, and their back turnings on Mayor de Blasio, and they're just following suit, I believe. I think at the end of the day, they're looking at their own people, right? They're disregarding the mayor and looking at what they do in their respective states and saying, I know exactly what these guys feel like, so I'm going to follow suit, I'm going to follow line, and I'm going to turn my back as well. Because, listen, at the end of the day, we are the ones on these streets. We are the ones that are targeting. We are the ones that are dying. As you mentioned at the top of the show, 125 police officers killed. We are the ones that should not be thrown under the bus. So I'm just going to we're just going to follow suit with these police officers to show them that we do have their backs.
Yeah, and I think that many times, more often than not, Lamont, as I've been told, more often than not, police officers do go along with the blue, the so-called blue wall. They do go along with things, even though they may subconsciously may not agree with it, but they go along with it because of
right
different you know, pressures, and they may get their backs to some police officers. You don't want another cop to turn his back on you because you might be out there in the street in need of assistance.
Yeah.
And you don't
that would be another instance of an unprofessional officer. But yeah, I believe they're totally following the code of the blue wall, and you know, you're on the streets just like I'm on the streets. How dare someone turn their backs on you or throw you under the bus? We stand completely with you. I think that was their message there.
Yeah, and let me just say, everybody, 347-426-3214 is the phone number here, 347-426-3214. Do you think that Mayor de Blasio was too conciliatory toward the other side? 347-426-3214. Or if you're on Facebook, you can post your message on the Ron Kelly Show Facebook page or Twitter at the Ron Kelly Show. This portion of the Ron Kelly Show is powered by Davis Integrated Medicine. 973-783-3606 is the phone number, or you can log on to the website, davisintegratedmedicine.com. That's davisintegratedmedicine, one word, .com. Davis Integrated Medicine, live life well. Lamont, there's so much. Another plane disappears, and we can review.
Wow.
Another plane disappears last night. Asia Air airliner disappeared, just disappeared, another one. And now they're looking.
Mm-hmm. I really don't know what's going on here. And it seems to be a bunch of these planes between Indonesia and these Asian countries, these Eastern Asian countries. Apparently, they lost contact with this plane. It was making some sort of swerve out of bad weather, and they lost contact with it within an hour or some sort, and then, boom, as you stated, disappeared. Now, they originally wanted to put forth the search efforts, but now they ceased the search efforts due to pure darkness, and they're going to resume it on Monday. So God knows where this plane could be by then if it is in the water. Now, from what I understand, they're also going to be searching mountain ranges and mountain regions as well, just in case the plane did land or fall upon some sort of land. But this is baffling, and it's scary. You know, it makes you not want to travel anywhere near that region.
Yeah, and you know, right, you don't want to go out there. But the search grid, Lamont, will be a lot smaller than the grid for the plane prior to this one. That disappears. The search grid will be a lot smaller. So the other plane, as a matter of fact, for the other one, I never even heard whether it was found or not.
That's because it wasn't found. You know, they kept searching. Yeah, they kept searching stretches of the Indian Ocean, which is huge, filled with a lot of garbage and what they call sea rubbish. And a lot of satellites were picking up these things, hoping that they were pieces of the plane. But every time they went over there, it was just rubbish. And they found absolutely nothing, not a morsel of that plane that went down prior to this one. So this is a little scary. Let's hope, as you stated, that if the search grid is much smaller than the Indian Ocean, let's hope that they can at least pull something together here and find these people or find this plane, find at least a part of it. But this is baffling. I mean, I can just see the conspiracy theories 5 years from now. if you thought that Bermuda Triangle got all the press from the conspiracy theories, just imagine these two things.
It's going to be outrageous. The search for the Air Asia flight 8501. With 162 people aboard, Lamont, it was lost. 162 folks, souls on this plane, and actually the search was suspended, Lamont, because of bad weather. Now, the aircrafts and the ships had spent several hours searching Indonesian waters, and you're right that this is only this seems like an Asian type of thing, or you know, Asiatic, you know, in that area. Turned up no sign of the Air Asia plane that disappeared Sunday, with 162 people on board in airspace possibly thick with dense storm clouds and strong winds, Lamont. So they're saying that the plane, well, it actually took off Sunday morning from Surabaya, Indonesia, which is Indonesia's second largest city, by the way, and it was halfway to its destination in Singapore when it vanished from the radar. Now, I looked at the map, and really, it's not the plane didn't really have to go that far. You know, between this, between where it took off and where it was supposed to land, it wasn't that far.
Yeah, and what is this loss of communication? I don't understand. These planes are built to maintain, unless the plane actually went down. That's another story. But this loss of communication, we heard the exact same thing with the Malaysian plane. It's just the whole thing is just baffling. It's just weird in the sense that, you know, over 300 people have been lost now, you know.
Really?
Planes. If you combine the number of people on this one and the number of people on the Malaysian plane, that's over 300 people now that's lost. Again,
right.
we're still early in the stretches of this one. They may find something, but if a week goes by and they haven't found anything, you need to really start scratching your head and thinking twice before taking a trip to Indonesia.
Yeah, because it wasn't a transatlantic flight or transatlantic, right? Because that's the Atlantic Ocean. On that the east anyway. It wasn't a transatlantic flight. So, you know, and again, when I looked at the map, the trajectory of the plane, where it took off from and where it's supposed to land, it was looked like a flight that should only take a couple of hours, and you know, from the distance. And the last communication between the pilot and in air traffic control, Lamont, was at 6:13 when the pilot asked to avoid clouds by turning left and going higher to 34,000 feet. Now, he was last seen on the radar 3 minutes later at 6:16, and a minute later it was no longer on the screen, according to Indonesia's acting director general of transportation. So, the plane had recently been serviced. In November, the plane went through its routine maintenance. It had been serviced. So this is, you know, again, like you said, this is really a head scratcher because, first, the plane didn't have to go that far to reach its final destination. And, and the plane had recently been serviced. So, and you're right, the technology is so weird. Wow, how could a plane disappear? Because they have the black box and they have other things on the plane that are not under control of the pilot that can, you know, the plane's locator equipment.
Well, let me say this. A lot of pilots are starting to realize that some of that technical equipment that they're using is so automated that if something were to happen to the automation of it, the pilot would have to kick in and manually take over a plane. And a lot of times they don't know what they're doing anymore because everything is so automated. It's another snare of technology. Like, for example, our cell phones. You know, how many telephone numbers can you actually remember? Or do you have to remember because everything's stored inside of your cell phone? So what they're saying is a lot of people are speculating. I mean, not particularly on this missing plane, but in general, they're saying airplanes and pilots are, for lack of a better words in general, they're forgetting how to fly a plane because everything is so technological and the automation system is so great that if something were to happen, these guys would just panic and lose control. I don't know. Quite possibly that's what happened on these two planes. Some people or the conspiracy theorists are talking about terrorist attacks. I don't know. I mean, let's give them some time on Monday to search for this plane and hopefully they can recover it and put those bigger fears of ours to rest.
Lamont, you made an excellent point because I don't know anybody's phone number. And when I went to call you through the system, I had to look your phone number up.
absolutely.
I don't know anybody's phone number, and you're right that we're such a computer reliant society that these people, these lone wolves, they don't have to blow anything up. Just knock the computer system down, and we'll all be walking around babbling at each other.
Yes, absolutely, yes.
We'd be finished because computers have just about, I mean, we don't add or subtract anymore. We don't, you know, we don't do anything manually anymore. Everything is done by computer. Even if the money, I mean, and there's folks who say that money will be unnecessary at some point in our society, maybe 50, 100 years from now. No one will use money anymore. You know, like,
yeah, yeah. And the same thing with these planes. I mean, the automation system kicks out. You're on your own manually. You better know what you're doing. You better hope you have a 1950s understanding of flying, because a lot of these guys are just they're going into a panic mode.
Well, we do have, well, you know, one thing we can say about Captain Sully Sullenberger, who landed that jet on the Hudson River, miracle. You know, I guess he is a throwback who can still fly a plane without any controls, because I don't know if there's any type of protocol or computer protocol for landing a plane on the Hudson River. So he's definitely a throwback. So he retired. I definitely want to see him in the cockpit if I was getting on a plane, especially in Indonesia.
We're going to have to look at this, though, because, again, hopefully they find this plane. I don't know what to say for the passengers at this point. I mean, I think a lot of people gave up hope on the Malaysian plane the second or 3 days that they couldn't find it in regards to survivors. But let's just hope that the better of this comes out.
Well, Lamont, Air Asia Group CEO Tony Fernandez, and then incidentally, Air Asia Group CEO Tony Fernandez is a Malaysian businessman. So I don't know what the connection is, but you know, hopefully they'll find this plane. And I find it kind of disturbing, Lamont, that everybody just kind of walked away from the other plane, like, oh well, we can't find it.
Isn't that disturbing?
Very.
Wow.
Very. For the folks who, you know, whose loved ones were on that plane, no, zero closure. We don't know what happened to it. But they, like you said, the conspiracy theorists are out there, and they, you know, the plane is underneath some radar-proof tarp somewhere in the,
Middle East. Sucked into midair by aliens. I mean, that just the conspiracy theorists are going to roll if they don't find this one.
It's outrageous. All right, everybody, we gotta continue with the program in just a moment. We'll take a break. New York Post is reporting that a New York City teacher sues, a white New York City teacher sues for discrimination. You'll just take a listen to this when we come back. And we'll talk about the interview, Lamont. The interview goes on. People are starting to say that, you know, the interview, the movie goes on. Folks were saying that calling Sony cowardly and that theater owners cowardly, and a reversal of fortune, and the movie went off without a hitch on Christmas Day. So we'll talk
mm-hmm.
about that.
That's right.
It went off without a hitch. And accusations, here we go with the conspiracy theorists, Lamont. Accusations are flying back and forth between the United States and North Korea about who did it, who's responsible. And we'll talk about that in just a minute. We'll come back and we'll talk more. It's Ron Kelly's show on The Unflappable One. Mr. Lamont Gates. We'll be back in just a moment with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com and on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Oh no, I'm in charge of our 10-year class reunion and don't know where to begin.
Don't let this happen to you. For your next event, wedding, anniversary, class reunion, or just need to promote your business, Burkett Promotions has you covered.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Over 200 custom-made products, USA made, along with personalized imprints and logos.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Burkett Promotions does it all. Big or small, we can fit your budget.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Need your event to stand out with that personalized touch? Pens, pencils, t-shirts? Go to BurkettPromotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
Mention the Ron Kelly Show and receive an additional 10% off an already great price.
Thanks to Burkett Promotions, my event was a success.
BurkettPromotions.com. BIRKETT Promotions.com.
BurkettPromotions.com.
A business you can trust. A member of the Better Business Bureau, New Jersey. A+ rating.
Now, back with more.
Are you ready?
More of the best. power internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Absolutely, yes, indeed. Pick us up on the Igloo radio app. Very simple. You just scroll down to the Ron Kelly Show, press the button, and boom, you are there on your smartphone or your traveling device. You can check us out. It's the Ron Kelly Show featuring the unflappable one, Lamont Gates. And we're right here on blogtalkradio.com every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Shout out to my neocons on LinkedIn who attack me every day. I love you guys. I appreciate it. You keep me sharp, so keep it up. And speaking of the neocons, Lamont, I just want to say this real quick. Jeb Bush, who is exploring a run for president, quits the Tenet Healthcare Corporation, which profited handsomely from Obamacare. So you can't tell me you didn't know that the company was profiting from Obamacare, because why are you leaving if you didn't know? So Jeb Bush, who was exploring a presidential run, quits the Tenet, that T-E-N-E-T Healthcare Corporation, because the company profited handsomely from Obamacare, Lamont. So it's just another, they sit back and kick the president's head in and make money behind the scenes. You know,
yes, that's the American way.
Absolutely. And Bill O'Reilly, Bill O'Reilly is just, talking about profiting from outrageousness. Bill O'Reilly, on an interview with Martin Luther King III, Lamont, and I want your take on this, an interview with Martin Luther King III last week, Mr. O'Reilly is scolding, in a way, Martin Luther King III, the son, the direct descendant of the great civil rights leader, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., and is telling him that our T-shirts should not say, "I can't breathe." They should say, "Don't get pregnant at 14." I mean, when did black folks corner the market on teenage pregnancy, Lamont Gates?
Well, let me just say this. I saw that interview, and actually that statement that Bill O'Reilly made was prior to bringing Martin Luther King III on. It was a part of his introduction segment, and then he brought him on. But he did ask him. He asked him about the particular, how come, the black community is not standing up for themselves. How come they're not rising up, the pregnancy rate and so on and so forth. And Martin Luther King the third partially agreed with Bill O'Reilly. He said, well, yes, that's a part of it. A part of it is what we're doing to ourselves. And another part of it is the injustices that are going on in the community. So what MLK the third was trying to say was there was a dual dual variables going on here to the point of the black community being in such a disadvantaged state that it's in. But he did partially agree with him about what the black community is doing. I thought that the interview overall was very respectful. I didn't see Bill O'Reilly really snap at Martin Luther King Jr. III as he did many of his other guests. So this was actually one of the more subtle interviews that Bill O'Reilly gave. Although I understand some people may take offense to what Bill O'Reilly was stating, because a lot of them don't want to look at those parts of the black community.
Absolutely, and I don't say Lamont. Speaking of the protests, so to speak, and a school bans the "I Can't Breathe" T-shirts. A high school bans them. You can't wear them here.
Was this a public school? Was this a public school?
Mendocino High School basketball players were disinvited. Mendocino High School basketball players were disinvited from the Fort Bragg tournament for wearing "I Can't Breathe" T-shirts. Now, the high school basketball tournament in Northern California has become the latest flashpoint, Lamont, in the ongoing protests over police killings of unarmed black men after a school was disinvited because of concerns its players would wear T-shirts printed with the words "I Can't Breathe" during the warm-ups. So that the boys were reinstated after all but one player agreed not to wear the T-shirts, inspired by the last words of Eric Garner, the New York man who died after an officer put him in a chokehold. So in too few, the girl players, now the girls were stronger than the guys, the girl players said no, And so the girl players won't be allowed to play because they refuse to not don the T-shirts, while the boys, all but one boy, acquiesced not to wear the T-shirts, Lamont.
Yeah, quite possibly. The officials there probably thought that the T-shirt wearing would spark some sort of protest, and then from there spark some sort of riot. Who knows? Who knows what was in their mind? We saw Kobe Bryant and a few other NBA players wear the shirt, and obviously, you know, they didn't get in trouble by any of the officials or the NBA or anything of that magnitude. But some people are just wary. They're afraid that it may send a message to repeat what was saw down in Ferguson after the non-indictment of Officer Wilson. And so instead of allowing these people to come in wearing whatever they are allowed to wear under free speech, they are trying to, in their minds, calm the situation by having them remove the shirt so that it won't start any potential, like we said, mass rioting or mass protests that may affect the overall reasoning for coming to the game in general. That's my opinion. That's my view of probably how they're thinking.
Well, Lamont, your thinking is in line with Principal Rebecca Walker, who says, and I quote, "To protect the safety and well-being of all tournament participants, it is necessary to ensure that all political statements and or protests are kept away from this tournament." Miss Walker, who said she was speaking on behalf of the athletic director and the Fort Bragg school superintendent. "We are a small school district that simply does not have the resources to ensure the safety and well-being of our staff, students, and guests at the tournament. Should someone get upset and choose to act out?" So your thinking is right on the money regards with the school hierarchy who echoes your or you echo their sentiments about this.
Yeah, and that's the only thing I can really see from that. I mean, the flip side of it is, we don't care about blacks, and you can't wear the shirt. Well, of course, that will be reaching into, you know, calling all these administrators out for racism. But again, I think the bigger message was this may incite something, not necessarily with the basketball team, but with whatever wackos that are coming to watch this game. You never know who's out there. Just like it only took a few in Ferguson to disrupt a peaceful protest, and that's all it could take. Here at this particular institution in California to disrupt the same thing.
Well, we'll talk a little bit about the protest, and we'll talk about Antonio Brown, the 18-year-old young man who was killed after allegedly pointing a for pointing a weapon at a police officer in St. Louis County. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. And the fact that the police officer's body cam was shut off at the time. Interesting. All right, Lamont. So this teacher, Paul William Shadow, a white man of upstate Port Jervis, charges he was discriminated against as a white man at Middle School 391, according to Manhattan Supreme Court lawsuit he filed with the city and the Department of Education. What's up with that?
Yeah, well, the New York Post is printing that this Bronx teacher, right, says that being a white man at his mostly black and Latino middle school has made him a target of unfair treatment, including being denied a key to the restroom for 3 years.
I'm sorry, Lamont.
A man's got to use the bathroom. Come on now. And he's saying that a lot of charges have been put upon him that range from him forcing his sixth graders to march up and down a set of stairs for 5 minutes as a means of discipline. He's been accused, he says falsely, of corporal punishment, using derogatory language, and leaving his post, and that administrators refused to back him up on discipline matters, and failed failed to reimburse him after he bought materials for use in his science lab. So, from what I'm understanding here, and in the New York Post, was that the charges were dismissed. All right, the charges that he did these things, that is, from the upper administrators were dismissed. And so he's taken his thing to court, and he is filing for, as the Post says, unspecific damages. Now, this goes all the way back to the question that I posed to you before we started the show this week, and that is there now a reverse race war going on from blacks to whites? I mean, this isn't the only situation that went on this past week. We saw the story of a black man arrested in a bank talking on the cell phone to someone about allegedly going after and killing cops himself, and that the slain cops that were slain this past week should have been white. So, you know, this begs the question now, is there a reverse race war going on? You know, we've seen the race wars going on in the 60s and 50s and the 60s, you know, the Ku Klux Klan down in the southern portions of America, the discrimination laws, the segregation laws, Jim Crow laws. We saw all these misfortunate givings to blacks going on constantly. And now, since the shooting of Michael Brown and the incident of Eric Garner, we're starting to see now that, I don't know, is it specifically against cops? I mean, here we're talking about a white teacher, but we're starting to see like this hatred, this racial hatred overtly being carried out, or at least mentioned verbally, by blacks against whites. What do you think? We got a new race war in our hands that we're going to have to defuse soon?
Well, I wasn't laughing at you, Lamont. I was laughing. I was thinking, and I don't mean to laugh at the story here, but I'm thinking, what was he going to the bathroom for the last 3 years? Was he running outside? Or I guess he went to the kids' room or whatever, because they wouldn't give him a key to the washroom. That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
But yeah, I found that. I wasn't laughing at you because I get tongue-tied all the time.
No, I understand. I understand. I don't even know why they got keys. I mean, most bathrooms, you just walk in and lock it yourself. But, you know, I guess they're trying to keep unruly students out.
Yeah, I guess, you know, the teachers have a their own they have their own restroom and the, you know, the lounge area and stuff like that, because the teachers don't sit in the cafeteria. They sit in the teacher's lounge. And they have a special bathroom, so I guess he didn't get a key to it. But Lamont, there definitely is a heightened racial in the United States of America today, Lamont. There's definitely a heightened racial tensions. I'll put it like that, amongst specifically black folks and white people. And you know, they say that. You know, I don't know if you would agree with this or not, Lamont, but, you know, I'm told, and I've read many, more often than not, that this is a result of the Obama presidency, and where, you know, hate groups and what have you have doubled, tripled, quadrupled in some cases since the president since Obama became president. And I would say that a verbal war at this point, no one's out in the streets fighting each other, but there's definitely a heightened racial tension in the United States of America today, Lamont. Definitely a heightened sense.
Yeah, yeah. And I think there were accusations also after these cops were slain by this young thug who eventually took his life. There were accusations that he was linked to a gang down in Maryland called the Guerrilla Black Family, and that this Guerrilla Black Family was going to travel up from Maryland to New York and fire up on the 79th Precinct. Now, the FBI has denied this, but apparently the rumors go back and state that, well, this is because, you know, for what they did to Eric Garner, and, you know, we need to just fire upon these cops. So I don't know if it's a race war against white cops, because if you're firing at a precinct, you're hitting more than just white cops. You know, you're hitting all cops. But the statement that this young man made in this bank on his cell phone, and when they went to his house, they found bulletproof vests. They found guns of all kinds. He admitted that he always had guns strapped to himself every time he left his residence. He also admitted to the cops that, you know, the two officers that were slain should have been white. So, you know, this is, like you say, it's starting to become this heightened racial climate, to the point where it seems that blacks now are starting to overtly express their hatred for whites, again, I don't know if it's just white cops or whites in general. We were just talking about a Bronx school teacher who was white. But, you know, at some point, all of this needs to be diffused, as well as the heightened tensions against the fact that President Obama is black. And you're right. You know, a lot of people went on mass media, social media networks, talking against the president, specifically not his policies, but him and his racial makeup, you know, calling him every single name in the book, the N-word, and, you know, emails were going back and forth from Republican representatives that were later disclosed as racist emails, you know, the president and his family growing watermelons on the White House lawn. So, yeah, absolutely. You know, this big discussion about race, I think we all need to sit down and just have this discussion and put everything out on the table. You know, what is irking you? What is irking me?
I think it's just each other's existence. The existence of black folks are irking white people, you know, because and the hatred is everywhere, Lamont. I mean, LinkedIn, which is supposed to be a professional networking tool, you see, you know, I see things on LinkedIn all the time, folks saying, well, if black people don't like it, why did they come here? So we didn't come here, idiot. We were brought here, you know. But I'm going back to the phone call, though, Lamont. I think, you see, that's a First Amendment issue there, you know, because if that guy was talking on the phone and he didn't outright threaten anybody, that sounds like a First Amendment issue to me.
Well, I think that's what he was doing. Someone, a passerby, would happen to listen to him talking on the phone about allegedly threatening to kill more cops. And so that person called the cops, and the cops, you know, they went in, did their thing, sat him down, interviewed the guy, and he admitted, you know, the two cops that were killed should have been white. You know, so that, you know, that alone right there raised the racial flag on where we're going in this country now between blacks and whites, or from blacks to whites. And it's just going to get uglier if we continue to have, and I think the media does play a huge role in this. You know, people got to understand, the media is out there to make their money. They're out there to get their ratings, all right? The higher their ratings, the more sponsors they get and the more money they receive. So if they have an opportunity to stir something, stir a race pot, then you know they're going to do it. And I don't take any blame away from the so-called civil rights leaders either, like the Reverend Al Sharpton. He's mainly out there to stir that race pot, you know, because let's face it, his organization needs money. So if the people can collectively see what's going on here and just use their heads, again, we got social media, we got the internet, which can give us a better side of both stories than the media or a civil rights leader. If everybody could just calm themselves, get the facts out, bring the facts out to the story, and understand that these are isolated cases that don't have to transcend into someone else being killed, someone who had absolutely nothing to do with the case, then I think we will be a lot better off. You know, I'm not against the protesting. I'm not against the marching. These people have a right to say what they have to say, but when you start using excessive force and violence to get your message across, especially based on race, somebody's race, I think we're definitely moving away from, especially the civil rights era that taught us, you know, we need to bring peace by way of words rather than fists.
Absolutely, Ahmad. It's a delicate time. I'll say that much. It's a without. Yeah, they monitored. This show is being monitored as well. I mean, all internet communications are being monitored. So I will say that it's a tenuous. I mean, it's a difficult situation. And me as an African American male, when I get in my car or one of my cars and I go driving, you know, I am aware. I'm not afraid of cops going to shoot me. But, you know, there's a little bit of a, you know, when I look at a cop and he looks at me, I'm a little more slightly uncomfortable, I would say, when a cop looks at me and I look at him. I'm, you know, I'm like, God, I hope he doesn't stop me and kill me. But I'm not afraid, but I'm not afraid, but there is a heightened sense of uncomfortability, I'll say, Lamont. When I drive past a police officer and he looks at me, I look at him.
Well, that's definitely a strong fear to have. You say when you look at a cop and he looks back at you and you say, I hope he doesn't kill me. Most people say, I hope he doesn't stop me and give me a ticket. But, you definitely have some I don't know, maybe the stories that you're reading here, maybe the news broadcast between the entanglements of cops and the people out on the streets have gotten to you. What do you say?
Well, yes, they in a way they have. I would say that they have. Now, I'm not morbidly afraid that I'm going to get killed by a police officer, but there is a chance. There is a chance that if you see, I'm not going to, and I've said it on Facebook and in several other places, I'm not going to put my hand on the steering wheel, turn on the lights, and sit there like, you know, why should I act any differently than any other ethnic group? Why should I act any differently? You know what I mean? Why should I take extra precautions? Like they say, I hear some other radio folks, who African Americans, who say, I tell my sons, put your hand on the steering wheel, don't move, you know, that kind of stuff can get you shot. So, you know, I'm not open to that. I'm an American, and I'm going to act like any other American if the police officer, if I get pulled over.
Yeah, well, I mean, in the times that I have been pulled over, thank goodness I haven't been pulled over in years. I've never gotten an officer, white, black, whatever it was, male, female, tell me put the hands on the steering wheel. The first thing they ask for is license and registration. Usually, follow or preceded by a hello, how are you today? So I don't know, these commentators that you're listening to telling their sons to put their hands on the steering wheel, I think they're instilling some sort of fear, prejudged or preconceived fear into them before an officer can even come up and tell you why he stopped you. But you're right, you're an American,
mm-hmm.
So
that's right.
There's no reason for an officer to approach you any differently than an Asian, a white American, a Hispanic American, or so on and so forth. And to my knowledge, I've never been approached differently from those people in my experiences being stopped.
Right. And I've never been harassed or anything by the police. I've never been harassed or anything by the police. So, you know, anytime I've ever been stopped, I've never been disrespected or harassed. I will say that. And I don't get stopped. I haven't been stopped in, I can't even remember the last time I've been stopped. But I think what they do, Lamont, I think it's more of a vehicle profiling. Because if you got the 22-inch rims and the music is blasted, I think that they do look at you as more of a threat than someone who's driving a Honda Civic, for example. You know, so there is some vehicle profiling, and it doesn't matter who's behind the wheel. If you have a souped up car with big rims and the music is blasting, you got a whole bunch of speakers, you got stadium sized speakers in the back of your car, I think that alone, Lamont, does heighten the awareness of the police officers, regardless of what kind of who's behind the wheel, I believe.
Well, that may tip off a noise ordinance with the cops. You know, you're blasting this music, but yeah, you know, they say that there are certain profiles of people and things out there. For some reason, they say red cars tend to get stopped mostly, in spite of any other color car that's out there. They say red cars usually trigger police officers to stop them. So a lot of people don't want to buy red cars for whatever reason. I know red is a color of power, they say. Even if you wear red, clothing-wise, you are either going to get looked at as someone of some sort of power of importance or a blood gang member. So,
yeah.
You know, red is one of the cars that they say police cars, police officers notice and stop mostly than any other car. But yeah, there is a form of a type of profiling that does go on based on statistics. You know, I don't know how you can stop a car though and say, well, this car is based on statistics. I know in neighborhoods, there are crime statistics. This is where stop and frisk came from. So there are more police flooding those streets than any other streets, as opposed to a suburb or so on and so forth. So going back to the Bill O'Reilly and the MLK III interview, someone brought up the good point that if crime went down, I believe it was Bill O'Reilly, if crime went down in these particular neighborhoods, there wouldn't be this need for a cops flooding these areas like they do. And, you know, looking at a gang of blacks standing on the corner and approaching them in a manner of being suspicious of them because, you know, they would have no need to at that point. But if the crime level continues to stay up, this is all, you know, in retrospect to what Rudy Giuliani said, too, former mayor of New York. If crime stayed up, then you're going to have these cops constantly going through these neighborhoods, these black neighborhoods, and many of these cops are going to be white.
Right. And, you know, and it's, that's, you know, we can't get past that, Lamont. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come right back. We're talking about North Korea and the interview movie. But we can't get past that, that there are some things that, you know, I mean, there's no excuse for someone without a gun being killed. No excuse. No excuse whatsoever. That, you know, in my estimation, there's no excuse for that. But there are things that go on in the black community, you know, like Stop and Frisk, for example, where most of the people who commit crimes, unfortunately, are African-Americans. So, therefore, they stop more African-Americans than anyone else. Now, is it being done properly? Or are there racist cops who are using it as a tool to harass folks? Sure. Absolutely. But are all of them doing it? I don't think so. But, yeah, I do believe that some of these things are being used by racist police officers who they're using these things as tools to harass black folks. But, you know, we have to get away from this notion that all cops are racist, because I don't believe at all that that's true. We'll take a break. We'll come right back. We'll talk about the interview. The interview goes on, or the interview strikes back, however you want to put it. We'll take a quick break. We'll come right back with more. I'm Ron Kelly, along with Lamont Gates. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
The Ron Kelly Show on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
Some statistics are surprising, some are unbelievable, and some are simply unacceptable. Right now, nearly 30% of U.S. students aren't finishing high school. Nearly 30%, and that's the average. In many places, it's even higher than that. And fixing it is a responsibility that we all share. This is President Obama, and I urge everyone, not just parents, but friends and neighbors and family members, to take responsibility for encouraging the high school students in your communities, to support them, challenge them, push them a little, and do whatever it takes to help them make it through. Because this is one statistic we simply can't afford to ignore.
You can do your part by going to boostup.org and sending an email, a text message, or even a wake-up call to a student at risk of dropping out. Go to boostup.org and provide the boost that's needed to make it to graduation. A message from the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Now, back with more of the fastest growing internet radio show on the World Wide Web.
And it's on. It's go time.
The Ron Kelly Show. With Lamont Gates.
Absolutely. It's the Ron Kelly Show with Lamont Gates. How are you, everybody? Good morning. Welcome to the Ron Kelly Show. About to wrap this thing up. We have a caller on the line. Good morning, Ron Kelly Show. How are you? Where are you calling from?
Hi. Calling from New York.
Hey, how are you? What's your name?
Hotep Kenyatta.
How are you doing, my brother?
Hey, I'm okay.
You have a comment? You have comments?
Yeah, when we look at crime, what typically is classified as crime is a part of the problem. We don't look at the bigger crimes that cause much of the poverty in poorer communities, white-collar crime. So what happens is, ignoring that crime, all emphasis in media and law enforcement is put primarily on poor communities, as opposed to investing social services so that there are less young black and Latino young men who are out of work, who are dropping out of school. In fact, you just played something that indicates 30% of young people are dropping out of school. Well, that's only part of the problem. That's for all students. That's not if you focus on the black and Latino, where it's an emergency. So racism is a part of the American culture, and since it's not officially stated anymore, we ignore the bigger problems that lead to young black and Latino kids getting into problems. Therefore, the police, an obvious offshoot, of the racist system, because since you have poverty and problems in the black and Latino community, you're often going to require more cops, and this leads to more problems.
All right. Thank you for the call. That's an excellent point. What do you think about that, Lamont? Thank you for the call, my brother. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right, Lamont, what do you think about that?
Well, although I do believe that white-collar crimes are a problem, however, I would never, ever, ever attribute someone getting robbed, for example, in an alleyway to a white-collar crime that happened on Wall Street.
I'm sorry, Lamont. it's ironically funny that you should say that. I watch a lot of American Greed, and there's some black people do get taken, but I don't think that that contributes directly to the crime. Wait.
No, not at all.
Go ahead, Lamont. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Make your point.
And I just wanted to say what he was using was trying to transfer all the crime problems and the poverty problems right back to the white man. That's all that was. Again, we have to be honest. There are problems in the white community and there are problems in the black community. They're separate.
Right, right. You know, and although there are some things that do happen where black folks – see, the thing about crime, and I hear so many people talk about – we got about 4 minutes left. I had people talk about – I'm going to say this real quick – about, connecting crime to unemployment. And, you know, I don't know anybody who sells drugs to pay the rent. You know what I'm saying? I don't know anybody I don't get the connection between the lack of jobs in the black community and some of the crimes that take place. You know, it's not like people are getting caught shoplifting in ShopRite for food and stuff like that. This is crime. I mean, this is crime for money, plain and simple. That's all it's about. People want to get ahead.
Crimes. Yeah.
Right.
People shoot you for a $5 bill. It's just senseless crime.
Right. People trying to get ahead because they don't want to take the long – they want to take the short road, Lamont Gates. They want to take the short road. And the media has a lot to do with it too. You see the bling, bling all over the TV and stuff like that. And a lot of these young people, to heck with college, you know, I'm going to sell drugs and I can make it a lot faster. So, yeah, I like what he said. Brother Kenyatta from New York, thank you for the call and thank you for listening to our show. But, it's kind of,
We need to take responsibility ourselves, put it that way.
Right, absolutely, Lamont. All right, we've got about 2 minutes left now. The interview comes back. What do you think that encouraged the theatergoers and theater owners, rather, to show that movie at the end of the day? Was it that folks were calling them cowards, or what do you think? Or it was just a smack against North Korea?
I think it was a combination of people calling them cowards and the president himself saying, literally laughing at these people, belittling Sony, saying, look, you should have checked with me first before you close down movie theaters. I could have told you that North Korea is not a threat to us. So I think in the bigger scheme of things, they said, why did we lose money in the theaters when we could have just put this movie out there and, just run it just like any other controversial movie that we've been running years and years now. From what I heard, that the movie wasn't that great anyway, so just put it out. So, but I think the president had a lot to do with that. You know, I think his statements against Sony had a lot to do with it. And in a sense, he was calling Sony a cowardice company for canceling the movie when, in fact, they had no real intelligence saying that there was going to be some legitimate attacks going on.
You're right. They didn't have anything. But could it be, in the last 60 seconds, Lamont, could we be laughing at David? Should we at least be wary of North Korea? Because it's a closeted state, and we don't know what they're doing over there. So should we be I wouldn't say respectful, but at least more conscious of what North Korea could possibly do? Should we be more conscious of them?
Well, look, anybody who has a missile that doesn't even leave their front doorstep, I don't think we should be too afraid of them, number one. Number two, again, just like we're warned at certain heightened of level, color levels of what Al-Qaeda or ISIS is going to do, surely this information will be released by way of the the intelligence agencies in the government to the news,
right.
We'll leak it to the people, and then we'll take consideration, proper considerations. But none of that was leaked to us. So for them to shut these movie theaters out and not show this movie was clearly a factor that they were taking on their own.
All right. Thank you, Lamont. Thank you, everybody. We'll see you back here next week for another edition of Ron Kelly Show. Next week, DeLacy Davis, former police officer in Newark. Former police sergeant in East Orange, New Jersey, will be here. Mr. Davis is an advocate of stopping police brutality. We'll have him on the show next week. All right, Lamont, thank you so much. Thanks, Lamont. We'll be back here next week with another edition of Ron Kelly Show with Lamont Gates. Another great show. So until everybody take care, we'll see you back here next week. Have a great week.